Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome to Geek Enders. The topic is no longer pre-show. I hecked up here. Intro.
Hi, you know.
Bam.
You're fine. It's a whatever.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having an amazing day. Our guest today is the lovely Rubber Ross.
Hey guys.
Claps, 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 claps.
I don't know where he is on the screen, so I'm going to point everywhere.
Under you. Well, I feel like I haven't talked to you in years.
It's been a while. Yeah. I mean, the last time I saw you in person, me and Gee-Wee went to your place, and I think Alex was still living in California. Right?
Mm.
And then we had the hot pot together.
Yes. Yeah. I think you're
and
right.
And then let me think. My favorite story about seeing you, and it just came back into my mind. Oh my God. We were going to the convention. I was tabling with you at that convention.
Yeah.
And I woke up a little early and just I didn't know you guys were in the next room, and I let out the worst morning fart, like loudest morning fart, and Sam and you just look at your child, your baby, and are like, oh my God.
Totally
oh my God!
Forgot about that.
You thought your baby ripped the loudest fart ever, but it was actually me in the next room over,
and you didn't know
I was awake yet.
Wow, that unlocked a memory. Yeah, I completely remember
that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Because she was new. She was like a brand new human.
She was a tiny little baby at the time, and you thought. That came
we
out
like,
of your kid.
Whoa. That was amazing.
I forgot about that until right now. Freshly unboxed human.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was fun. And then we did the hot pot, and then you moved to the UK. And I was supposed to see you guys when I was performing in the UK, but we didn't end up linking up.
Dude, that is tale as old as time. I've had so many friends come through here and be like, we should meet up. And then just for one reason or another. I think it's hard because a lot of times people are coming out here, they probably have plans during the day and the time that they're free is at night. But that's sort of the opposite for me, where like I can make stuff happen during the day, but at night, like I need to be home normally, you know?
Yeah.
So.
In June, I'm going to be like actually kind of close to you, but just too far. I'm going to Dublin.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. My dad and my sister are meeting up with the rest of my family in Dublin. So I'm going to be spending my birthday there, which should be pretty nice.
That's awesome. That'll be so cool.
Yeah. I love Dublin. So I'm looking forward to that.
When's the last time you went?
Tour, actually. Yeah. So that would have been to 2022, I think. I love Dublin. I'm a big, big fan of Dublin. Mm. Spent a lot of time there growing up. And my family owns it used to be my grandfather's, who's like long past now, but it's a like a giant like farmland they own with like a house on it in this place called Garonne. I haven't been there since I was a little kid. And in fact, I didn't even know we still owned the property. I didn't even know it was still in the family. But apparently, we're for the first time since I was like 11 years old, I'm going to get to go back to that farmland and hang out.
It's cool.
A place where I fell into a bush of nettles, discovered what nettles were. Mm-hmm. Not cool. I don't like nettles.
No. They're very nice to eat.
I've heard that, nettle tea and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They grow all over the place on our property. So I try to grab them and do things with them, but sometimes it's just not worth it. Cause yeah, they sting like a bitch. They're so bad.
Hold on. Huh. What would you describe the eating of a nettle to be like?
You can use them in place of spinach in pretty much anything.
What? Really?
Yeah. I bulk out pesto with it. So I'll use like half basil, half nettles, and it basically That's tastes crazy. The same. They've got a lot of good stuff in them. It's just that they suck because they hurt you. So
eat it.
Yeah,
just
so
put it in your mouth.
Eat it. That's
yeah.
fine, exactly. Yeah.
Eat it before it can hurt you.
Basically, the second it gets heated up, the little spines on it that hurt you evaporate. Mm-hmm. Basically, like they're non-functional anymore. So, which is why people who harvest them without gloves on will claim, like, if you just pinch as hard as you can when you grab it, you'll be fine. Because they're like small enough, they're brittle enough that you should be able to just crush them.
But, yeah, I heard there's like a technique to how you pick them up or something that, yeah, like the like little needles can't actually get you. It's weird. Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, fun.
Anywho.
Botany.
Anywho.
Early morning botany. Okay.
Yeah. How are you, Jesse? Are
you I'm fine. I had the revelation that I realize I've so little to do that every time I've been in the UK, I've hung out with you. And I've realized now that's because I was doing nothing of value. My days are entirely free.
That's not entirely true.
You were like,
true.
Do you want to hang out? And I was like, yo, okay. That I just...
The days that you've been over here for conventions, we have not been able to sync up. Mm-hmm. Or...
Okay, that's true.
Conventions
that
or
was like... 3 days.
Or like,
that was like I was
know.
In and out. That was like a yup, yup.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. If you're
when
here
I'm there for
like
long
a trip.
Time,
yeah, absolutely.
What can I say? I'm doing, I do a whole lot of nothing. And then I make it seem like I'm busy all the time. That's the scam. That's the scam. You got to get people thinking you're like so overworked. And then you just sit alone in a room and are like, guess I'll stream today, I suppose. And that's how you do it. That's the scam.
There you go.
I'm very good at it.
Look, just as a heads up, next time you come out here, Jesse,
yeah?
I will make you come to visit my family because every single time you're in town I get bombarded with messages like, oh my gosh, did Jesse see Clark? I'm like, no, Jesse is terrified.
Clark's
of
a mean girl. I'm terrified to be next. Clark is a mean girl.
How old is
Clark?
Clark
I don't
is
want
not
that
a mean Clark's girl
gonna, Clark's gonna be she's gonna be like, oh my god. Look at that loser.
Whoa.
I'm going to have to deal with that.
Whoa.
And I don't want to get in a fight with your kid. I don't want to, like, fight your kid, okay? Like, I don't want that between us.
I don't want you to fight my kid either. She will lose.
Wait. Brooke, how old is Clark now?
She'll be 6 in April.
Mean girl. Her friends are named, like, Boofy and, like, Lord Jasper Esquire. They're all assholes. Mm-hmm. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Bunch of 6-year-old punks just out there on the streets flipping cars,
mm-hmm.
Cockney rhyming. Oh,
yeah.
They're the worst.
That's yeah. it. That's exactly rhyming. What's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's learning how to use the sewing machine. That's kind of similar to vandalism.
Yeah. 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 What do you think she can sew?
Anarchy signs, probably.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Hooligan slogans on the back of like football jerseys.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This kid's trouble.
She's got a little jean jacket. Who knows what she's gonna cover that thing with?
Does she really have a little jean jacket?
Yeah, she does. It's
like
rainbow.
A little tiny cute 6-year-old jean jacket. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's like pink and blue. It's very cute.
It's cute. That is cute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. All right, I'll go to your wacky farm and see your animals
Thank you.
And/or family.
Yeah, we have sheep
right.
now. We have pigs.
I heard about this.
Chickens.
You've Wait, you're on a farm.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
I wish I was on a farm.
You should come visit. Yeah, we have so many animals.
Wait, so is it like Stardew Valley kind of like get up? Do you have like vegetables and stuff?
Yeah, we have an area that's all like for like growing flowers and vegetables and things. And then we have a big field area that's sectioned off for the animals. All I do recently is complain about Crumble, the goose, because he was so sweet.
Oh, goose are mean.
He was so sweet. And now he's reached his like Axe body spray teenage era. And he's just mean. And he wants everyone to know what a big boy he is. And it drives me crazy. That's your dog.
My dog is, he's now in his like teen era. And he's teething. And holy shit,
he's
does he want to let you know he's teething? Yeah. So he's like about, oh my God, he'd be about 5 months now.
Oh, baby.
He's a sight hound. So he's something called a silken wind sprite, which is like it's supposed to be like a long-haired, like a long-haired whippet, which is like the medium-sized greyhound.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's like really long. And he's similar breed to, I don't know.
Is it the meme dog with the long nose?
No. Okay. So, yeah, close. Do you guys know Jimmy here? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Okay. Another streamer, YouTuber. He's in Texas. He has a similar breed called a Silken Wind Hound, which is the same breed, but it's like, you know how they have golden doodles? They're golden retrievers crossed with doodles?
Yeah.
These are a wind sprite is... is a Selkie crossed with a Whippet. A Wind Hound is a Berzoi, the one you're talking about, crossed with a Greyhound. So they're similar breeds.
I see that.
And he has the one that has the super long nose, and it's so good. And they have a built-in overbite. So their teeth are like, come around. It's so cute.
Oh, baby.
But Ochi is his name, named after the dog from Pikmin. I could show you, but he is a fucking hurricane. And unfortunately, I came into my office and you see this little yellow mark here?
Yeah, what is that?
That is cat vomit. And if he sees that, he's gonna gobble that up.
No, don't say that.
So I don't want to bring him in here right now.
Yeah.
This is behind the scenes. Nasty.
I hope this was like
Do you wanna see something? So
your dog eat vomit? No.
Yeah. So this is. I have three cats as well. So get this.
Okay.
My cat. I have a cat, a Siamese cat, who's allergic to cat food, like biscuits. So he has to have hypoallergenic cat food, right? Like special cat food.
So does my Siamese cat.
Yes.
Is this a
thing? So he's discovered that he loves dog food. So whenever he chews into the dog food bag, which makes him throw up, which is what he's been doing.
Mm.
I'm going to show you the culprit. He's right here.
Okay.
This is why I don't have pets. The two of you. Look,
this is my cat Kipper, who's been eating all the dog food.
A baby.
And then throwing up on the couch.
Look
isn't
at that
right,
baby. Kippy.
Aww. You're going to meow? You're going to meow to be released? Oh, she's being very well behaved. I also have another cat.
She's like, no.
We have my other
It's like
cat,
that hello, Tina. Hello, my baby, hello, my honey frog.
Yeah. My other cat, Tina, is
hello,
around
my baby.
Somewhere.
Hello. You know what I mean?
She is an angel. She's a cat I found in my garden. She was just a stray that just showed up one day, and I started feeding her, and now she lives with us. She's really sweet, but I don't know where she is right now.
Aw, cute as pootis. Oh my gosh, I just realized how many figurines you have on that wall behind you.
Oh, do you want to see?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my Dragon Ball wall. Because it's a stream set, it's tax deductible. Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
Yep.
Smart.
Ooh, the zoom. Ooh, look at all of them.
Dang, we got some Vegetas. We got some Gohans.
Dang, look at all them Bulmies.
Oh my God. Is that Piccolo?
So if you look down at the bottom there, it's all done in Dragon Ball arcs. This one here is my non-canonical wall.
Okay.
And these three silver ones here are from the movie Metal Cooler, where Frieza's brother can clone himself and he's a robot. So I bought three of them because I thought if he can clone himself, I should have three of them.
That makes sense.
At least three.
Yeah.
You gotta have triples.
Which sucks because it was an expensive figure because it's chrome. So Yeah, I have a lot of these, and it's kind of like my little. It's like, you know, when you're an old man, you have a train set. That's this for me.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that one. Can I zoom
in
more?
Do you ever think about how you remember how like grandparents had those little porcelain figures, the like whatever those were called,
porcelain babies? Yeah,
that's gonna be us with all the crap that we've collected. And gonna be some kid 50 years from now who's going through it all, just like, what the shit is this?
Yeah,
man, they were weird. Into the dump it goes.
Someone asked if this is an investment. Well, anything that's like Comic-Con exclusive, I keep in box. Unless it's hard to get duplicates of. Like, for instance, there is a figure down there that is Gohan and Goku doing the Kamehameha, like Ghost Goku behind Gohan doing Ghost Kamehameha. You get a Ghost Goku figure. It's hard to see, but it's like, it's down.
Very cool.
See the little beam clash right here?
Yeah.
So right there, there's a Ghost Goku. And that figure, if you look behind that display, there's a second one that's in box.
Gotcha.
Because I knew that one was going to go for tons and tons of money.
You gotta get
doubles. Yeah. And one you can see I have my life together because the cat vomit's also in shot.
Priorities.
I just woke up. I didn't know about the cat vomit until I turned on this camera. I was like,
bro,
oh, great.
Don't even worry
I've actually been like streaming or recording something, and then midway through the recording, I lean and there's no cat vomit, and I lean away and then there's cat vomit. It's awesome.
It's
love
a pleasant
cats.
Surprise.
Baby.
I love
it's
cats.
Humanizing.
Do you want to know how many mugs are in my office that need to get cleaned? Will that make you feel better?
I have some of your mugs. Yeah, I still have some.
Jesse, did you keep any?
Oh, yeah.
Sweats.
I have your Murloc one.
Yeah?
I still have it.
I definitely didn't give them away. Why would I do that? Actually, I do have one mug that you bought me. That's the tentacle mug.
The tentacle mug.
I still have that.
Yeah.
I love that mug.
Okay, here. I have...
What? All right. There is... Hold on.
What?
There is a wide variety of... when you turn your back away from the camera reveals happening. Ross has cat vomit. What is your shirt? What is that thing behind you?
Do you remember that game Small Saga that I kept being like, this game is so good. It's such a good game. Like probably the best like turn-based adventure RPG I've played in a long time. Blah, blah, blah. The top Steam review on it just says LGBT Rat Berserk. And so my mod made this for me.
Oh, wow.
It's the characters. It says LGBT Rat Berserk.
No, well explained. I just, you moved and it appeared and I was like, there's got to be a story about that.
I put it there because, and we can talk about this a little bit, but I played a bunch of demos this week because it was Next Fest. Mm-hmm. And one of the demos was called Trash of the Titans. And it's a turn-based tactics game where you play a bunch of rodents. It's the same sort of thing where one of them is like a berserker and one of them's a mage and one of them's a rogue. And I was like, it's LGBT Rat Berserk. So
you know that the demo for the game that we definitely didn't think up but now exists, the Pacific Drive demo?
Yes. Have you played it?
It's on my laptop. I'm looking at it right now on my desktop.
I played it literally today.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a pretty short demo. Well, I guess not short. I shouldn't say that. You can see what the gameplay loop is, and you only do the gameplay loop once before the demo's over. And so you have that feeling of like, wait, but because it's like a roguelite sort of thing. So you come back to the shop or whatever, you're able to make improvements to your car and things. So you have that feeling mentally of like, wait, but I've built this now, or I have this now. I want to go back out, you know? And then it's like, but the demo's done. Play the game when it comes out. I think it comes out end of this month. So.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's very good.
The 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's too much.
Yeah.
I have a list. I have a list over here of everything coming out over the next 3 months. And I'm like.
Did you, cool. Did any of you guys play any of the demos? No. That have been out this week?
No, I haven't played a single thing. I'm so behind on games.
That's okay.
Like, it's I tried to start Alan Wake too, and I was like, oh, it's not a musical.
But it is. Oh, but Ross.
I love the Herald of Darkness song so much. And I was like, I need to play this game. And then I got in and I was just like, when's the musical start?
How far, like, how much did you play? Like, how,
Scary naked man in a morgue.
Great. So the literal opening of the game, the first hour.
Yeah, I played it before I went on tour.
It's less of a musical and more of like playing a Netflix show where every episode ends with its own song. So you get like your own theme per episode. It's really well done.
Wait, yeah. So if I keep playing, there is a musical number.
Oh, there's multiple music. I don't want to spoil it. There's multiple music numbers, but also the end of every episode is like its own. You get the credits and you get like a new song that has to do with what you just did. It's pretty neat. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, because I was kind of hoping to find like, maybe I'd turn on the game and be like Les Mis, you know, like I wasn't sure what I was getting into. I just knew that I've been working on me and my buddy's been working on a Lethal Company mod, which allows you to put in like custom emotes. And one of the emotes we put in, my friend Bob animated in, was the Herald of Darkness dance, like a really, really nice hand animated one. And I just loved the song, and I added it to my Spotify. And then on tour, I was listening to it a lot. Yeah, I want to play the game. And I saw the live performance of the song at the Game Awards. I was there where I nearly ruined the Game Awards by accident. You know about that?
No. Tell the story.
I literally made a YouTube short about this. But basically, Twitch invited me. Like, they had a bunch of seats. They had their own private seating area. So they invited me, Point Crow, and a bunch of others. And I showed up there. I was the first one there. And I thought, when they said it was going to be like special seating, it was going to be like the front row or something, but it ended up being this like private mezzanine. So they told me where to go, and I went up there. And when I arrived there in the mezzanine, like, you know, where Abraham Lincoln kind of was shot, that kind of shit. I walk in, and then there's just a plastic table, a guy with a bunch of, like, you know, those like those laptops, they look like they'd bring into a war zone. Like they're all like cased up and shit. And then wires everywhere. And I'm like, huh? And I, like, no one's there. So I just, like, try to walk to my seat, nearly trip on one of the wires because it's, like, so close to my seat. I sit down. And then I'm just confused. Like, this is it's like not that fancy. It's, like, a fucking, like, base, like a, I don't know what to describe it. Like, it's, like, a control station. And I was like, this has got to be some, like, production shit. And then eventually I'm sitting down. This guy comes over. He's like, hey, I don't think you're supposed to be sitting here. And I'm like, no, this is my ticket. It says I'm supposed to be sitting here. And he's like, oh. He's like, well, why are you here? I'm like, well, Twitch invited me. This is the Twitch area. And he goes, oh, this is going to be a problem. turns out that was the control station for the entire stream.
Oh.
And it turns out the wire I nearly tripped on controlled every single crane camera for the entire event. So if I had tripped on that wire, all the cameras for the entire event would have shut off like midstream. Like, oh, this is, I am not making this up. God. I have pictures to prove it. And I put it in the short, and literally they ended up taping it down, but not with like gaffer tape. Cause I have friends, you know, I'm on tour. I showed my friends on tour through production. They didn't use gaffer tape. They used like duct tape. So it's like very poorly kept down. Cause I don't think they were expecting people to be in the vicinity.
Right.
And you know, I'm hanging out there and whatnot. And we're watching the show. And then, I'm with a bunch of other Twitch staff, and Dan Clancy comes over and he's like, hey, I think we're going to have to move. So like we all get up and move to like another mezzanine area because like they were just like, we can't have people. Like, I tweeted about it. People are like, pull the plug. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that, dude. So I was like, pull the plug in game of the year. I was like, I could never do that to Baldur's Gate 3. I love it too much. But yeah, dude, I don't think it was totally their fault, because like I think it was more so the venue, because they gave them seats. Yeah, they gave them a location to manage the stream that happened to also be a booked mezzanine. Mm-hmm. So like that's the venue's fault. Yeah, so that's kind of crazy. So that happened.
I think you had probably the best experience, though. Like, being on the floor, like, down, not one of the most insane things I've ever experienced. Like, it's not... award shows I'd rather just watch at home now. Once was enough.
I've never been constantly moving and shifting. Mm-mm. Yep. That was my first time ever going. Probably my last. I think it's. I'd probably prefer to be home streaming it and just kind of hanging out with chat and stuff. But
I couldn't see anything the entire time. Cameras were doing this directly in front of me, and I was like,
I could have done something about that.
You could have saved my entire day.
I could have got rid of them. I was just like, Jesse can't see. Unplug.
Just move them. I would have been like, get rid of them. Who needs them?
Thanks, dude.
So funny. I'm glad I went because I saw the Alan Wake 2 dance and I was like, wait, what? What is this? Alan Wake 2 got dancing and music and stuff? And then,
Did you play Control? Are you in that universe? Do you know those things?
No.
Oh, Control's great. You should play Control. No. I haven't played Alan Wake, but Control's fantastic.
What is that? I don't know anything about it.
It's like SCP. But you play like a capable, cool lady working in a facility that's like kind of an SCP-esque facility, and you can find like all kinds of like lore documents and stuff, and you're dealing with like weird shit happening. It's very
cool. Oh, that sounds cool. I love the SCP stuff.
Imagine if Remedy as a game company said, okay, we got all these properties. We're going to make a new one that explains it all. So they made a bunch of weird games, like Alan Wake is a weird property, and they have all these, I'm trying to think of, even Max Payne is technically included, but like all their games, and they made like,
I love Max
Control
Payne.
Over all of it, and Control's like, here's our explainer for the entire universe we've created.
Wait,
and
imagine all there's the like a person. Universe?
Yep.
Wait, Max Payne is in the same universe as.
Yep.
What?
Well, all right. technically, Max Payne and Quantum Break, because they're not legally owned by Remedy, they are alternate universes.
But they're still
under the umbrella in that. There's explainers, there's characters who are like, yeah, I remember one time I was in this other place, but you were there, though. Like, that kind of stuff.
Alternate universe sort of shit. Yeah.
Like, I played Max Payne 1. Like, I loved that game as a kid. That game fucking rules. Like, I was so obsessed, because at the time when I was young, I was so obsessed with, like, The Matrix and stuff, and I was obsessed with, did you ever play the Half-Life 1 mod, The Specialists?
Yes. Oh my god, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It was great.
It was so cool. But it had like a bullet time system for multiplayer. So like I think if you were within vicinity of like someone going bullet time, you would also go bullet time. Mm-hmm. And that was so cool. I don't know if there's any way maybe The Specialist is still around. I would love to try that again.
I wonder what that looks like. I'm always impressed going back to old games and either being like, wow, this is very old, or realizing, even though it's 20 years old, it still looks really good, and I'm always like, wow, I'm so impressed. It's an experience either way.
There's a Dragon Ball Half-Life 1 mod that's like still in production and still has not released. There was like an early version of it. It was called Earth Special Forces. And like, if you go there, like every other year, they'll have like an update. Like, hey, we're not dead. I know it's been 20 years, but like, here's what it looks like now. And they've like basically built new modern shit into the Half-Life 1 engine. So they have like destructible environments and like really nice water. It no longer looks like Half-Life 1 anymore.
I was gonna say, if it's been that long, does it even feel ESF like a mod anymore?
Google Earth Special Forces or ESF. ESForces.com and you'll look at when the last update was. It's like 2021, 2022. It's like they're still working on it. It's all volunteers, so it's like super slow. Yeah. Oh man, I love the Half-Life 1 modding scene, dude.
Yeah, but that's sort of that time period where most of the communities that existed around games were modding, right? Like I was hardcore into when they had the TIE Fighter game and the X-Wing game and then X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. There was a huge modding scene for that where I would sit there and make like here's my own TIE Fighter adventure campaign. And I honestly didn't have to do much because some dude somewhere created a program that you just put in all the information and it popped it out the other side. And Like those early 2000s, that was where it was at. That's everyone was Civilization. One of my favorite Civ games was Fall from Heaven 2, which is literally they just put fantasy characters in Civilization.
That's so cool.
It was awesome. And there was, you know, because it's Civ, there's 50 different factions. And so they just made 50 different fantasy factions. And all the art is just straight up stolen from Magic the Gathering. Like, it's just Magic the Gathering art. But it's great.
There's another, I'm trying to look it up. Okay. And this is another one I really liked. I think it was called Natural Selection. Did you ever play that one? They tried to like bring it back, but it didn't kind of come back with any sort of... But basically, it was a hybrid. How do I put this? Like, one player on the human team was like, RTS and like had to put that, like, build units and stuff. And the other team played aliens. And the more they killed, they could evolve into bigger aliens. And the goal of the human team was to destroy the alien hive. And this, the goal of the alien team was to destroy the command station for the humans. So it was like Commander plus FPS. It was so cool. I played so much of that shit. I used to go to LAN centers just to play this game. And
they made a real version.
Yeah, they did. And I don't think it took off. I don't think people were super into it because I never heard anyone talk about it. I played it once, but like the original was so cool. So fucking cool. I love that game.
It's kind of how like I feel with everything that came out of the Warcraft, StarCraft mod scene. In those games, I play them all the time, but...
Wait, people are saying it's from the Subnautica guys made it. Wait, seriously?
Is that true?
Natural Selection was made by the Subnautica guys
in the same universe. Unknown World. Natural Selection.
What?
Yeah, look at that.
Good for them. What the fuck?
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Crazy. I didn't know that. Okay, the good for them. Like, they made a... That was, like, one of my favorite Half-Life mods ever. And I didn't... You know, I still haven't played Subnautica, and you know why? I have a crippling fear of the open ocean.
Oh, same.
So does Jesse.
I can't do it.
So I didn't mean to say that like it's a happy, fun thing.
Yeah, it's like a heights and those nightmares growing up where you're in the middle of the open ocean with nothing, no salvation. It's the scariest shit.
So
the ocean is terrifying.
I'm trying to pinpoint your fear because not to use it against you, but because I want to see if it's my own fear. When you're doing oceany things, is it the vastness of the ocean? For me, it is literally the plane. I've pinpointed this. You know, like here's reality and there's a plane of water. And then if I jump in, I'm suddenly somewhere else and there could be anything down there, dude. That terrifies me. I'm not a fan of that.
It's the vastness, how deep and unexplored it is, the predators, just the it's scary that we know more about space than our own ocean at this point.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, the horrors that could be below there are so scary to me. But I don't know, man.
All right. Let me tell you my experience then playing this game, because I feel like we'll have the same experience. When you first start playing... Your ship crashes. So you're stranded in the middle of the water. Your ship crashes. And it's like, well, good thing you're in the shoals. So it's fine. All you got to do is jump in the water. So immediately, step one is exit your ship. Look at the water and make the choice to jump in, which is already too much. It took me, I'm going to say, 10 minutes to even like work up the courage to jump in fake water. And I was like, okay, I got this. Jumped in. And it's like this beautiful reef and there's all these fish and there's like goofy looking fish and happy fish. And the entire time I was like, this is all a ruse. This is some bullshit. You know, they're around the corner. There's like sharks like, what up, waiting? Hot. Because I'm like, it's a video game. Of course, they're going to start you nice. But like over there and that darker water, that's how I die. So I didn't leave that area until chat yelled at me. I was like, look at this beautiful water. And then once you do that, it's all hell. It's the worst thing I've ever experienced. No.
Did you try Dave the Diver?
I have not played Dave the Diver yet. No.
I played a little bit of that. That was a little bit more manageable because it's like...
Pixels?
You can see around yourself a little bit. So I don't feel like something's going to sneak up behind me. I like that game. That game was good. I have to beat it, but I was really enjoying that game. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, it's got a good like collection...
Yeah, the gameplay cycle is awesome. Yeah. It's really good. It's really, really good. Yeah, big fan, big fan.
The very first VR thing that I ever did was that like
Shark Demo?
The deep sea VR thing that has like three different levels in it.
Yep. Yeah. I made my parents do that when they visited the Grumps office way back when, because we had
Is that the one where the whale comes up and like
I didn't know what it was gonna be like. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the first level is like basically nothing going on. But the second one is you're on a ledge and a giant whale swims by you, and I nearly had a panic attack.
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Freaked the fuck out. And I'm not scared of water.
That's child's play. That's nothing.
And there's the deep sea one where you get the anglerfish and stuff.
I put the headset on and immediately took it off and was like, Sam, you do it. And Sam was like, okay, and was totally fine.
I got to try that really early on because around that time, Grumps was kind of dipping their toes into game development. Mm-hmm. So we were registered as like, you know, a game studio, even though like Dream Daddy and all that stuff hadn't come out yet. So we got the early version of the Vive. And like it wasn't like publicly accessible yet. Like so it was kind of like so at the best that they had at the time was that like Kickstarter Oculus. You remember the one? Like the really like shitty one. Yeah. So that made you motion sick. So going from that to trying a Vive with that as one of the demos, I was like, oh my God, this is going to change the world. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And my parents came to visit the office. They were visiting from Australia and I got them both in and they just couldn't believe it. And now we've got the fucking Apple, whatever, vision. And I'm just like, I have not tried one yet. And I'm just like, people walking around with them on their heads in public is so silly.
Yeah.
But I will say, when I tried VR for the first time, I did say that. I said, eventually what VR will be compact, small, once it's compact, small, stylish to wear, can interface with your phone for extra processing power and battery or whatever, you're going to probably see them as like an accessory that everybody would wear out and
It'll
about.
It'll be more
like,
augmented reality than virtual
augmented reality.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But it's weird that the thing we have now are these ski goggles when... I don't know, 2012, there was Google Glass, which was just glasses.
It sucked, though. It sucked.
Google Glass did.
Sure.
Someone brought it to Maker. I remember. I can't remember who it was, but one of the talents at Maker brought it to the studio, and I got to try it, and I was like, this is fucking dog shit. No wonder it didn't get released.
It's the same thing with the Xbox ones. Were you?
Yeah.
There was an E3 where it was like, it's AR, but it was a little slit of AR.
Yes, yeah.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But it's... I feel like they tried to get the form factor down and then said, F it, wear goggles, which I think is, I'd rather have glasses.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that we're eventually going to have like just cool glasses that you can wear. I think that the Apple one is probably the beginning of that. Because I always used to say to people, I was like, okay, imagine you have these glasses. They're legal to wear while driving. You've got like augmented reality arrows on the road showing you where you're supposed to go when you have GPS activated. Imagine you go to the beach and you're like, oh, which lifeguard thing are you at? And I'm like, oh, we're at B down there. It's like, I can't see you. I'm already there. Imagine you just put a beacon up in the sky, walk to the beacon, and then you're just there. Oh, your friends are there. Like, it'd be crazy, a crazy world to live in with augmented reality. Like that.
I want that. I want in the top of my vision the Skyrim like little radar system where it shows you the different things and I can just like, oh yeah,
the
that's
bagel
what I
shop
want.
Is this way.
That'll
you know,
be a
like,
mod.
Yes, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Coming back around to mods. Yeah, somebody will be like, I want this to look more like a video game.
I think by the time we're old and gray, we'll have it.
I want to just say for the record, I love that the two of you were talking about like these scary whales that you saw in VR. My first VR experience was that shark thing that PlayStation did where you got, it was like, you don't move. Don't worry. It's just a demo. You don't move.
But you're just like
you're
in a
cage,
and they
lower you underwater and a shark swims around you and then proceeds to attack it and break into the cage. That's the demo. F all of Sony for that. That was the scariest thing I've ever done. And they were like, don't worry. It won't ever be this scary again. And then the next time they were like, this is a demo where you sit in a chair and a ghost girl attacks you. Resident Evil, baby. And I was like, I'm never doing VR again.
Gone, dude.
I remember everybody doing that Resident Evil chair thing and being like, fuck that, dude. No.
One of the worst experiences. You literally just sat there in a chair and they were like, now don't move. And then like a little creep creeps up on you. And it's the worst. No,
no thank you.
Mm-mm. I have trust issues with VR. I cannot. I'm constantly. The only VR games I can play are games like Moss, where you just control a little cutie pie.
Moss is very and cute.
It's a normal game, but it's just VR because it's fun. Mm-hmm. That's all I can do. Any other VR, I'm like, there's a dude behind me, and he's going to get me, and it sucks. Yeah, I would crave a whale. Although I know that whale, the minute I saw it, I'd be like, there's a shark behind me. I can't even. This is some bullshit. Like, I can't. I couldn't do it. God.
Mm-mm. Yeah. No, I can't do horror. I can't do horror. I'm fucking baby.
So that explains the Alan Wake piecing out after chapter one.
Yeah. Well, it's actually my girlfriend playing. I'm just watching. She's
Let's
play for me. Yeah.
Saying that though, mm-hmm. I think probably the best VR experience I've had is Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah,
I don't know if either
good.
Of you have
it's
done
really
that,
good.
But it's like it's so like well made and immersive. I loved it. I haven't really tried to do another, I guess, kind of like adventure type VR game since then. I don't know if any of them are. I don't know how many of those are really being made at like a high quality.
They all make
you know?
Me sick.
Like a lot. Yeah, unfortunately, like I like VR, but I don't think a lot of development. Time and money is going into it as much. Well, I mean, there is money going into it. It's mostly R&D right now. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, like, I would say that Half-Life Alyx is the first example of what a AAA VR game would look like.
Yeah.
There's definitely other ones that, like, Meta have been backing, but they're, from what I've heard, like, they're not making as big a splash, basically. I think that what's happening right now, and this interview has always stuck with me, was in 2020, when the pandemic started. Gabe Newell was in New Zealand when it started. So he decided to stay in New Zealand for like an extended period of time. So when he went on television in New Zealand, and in the interview, they were trying to talk to him about VR because, like, you know, it was kind of, you know, kicking up and, you know, VR was a big discussion because people were trapped inside. When they were talking to Gabe, he said, oh, we are closer to the Matrix than people could realize. And they're like, well, what do you mean by that? He's like, oh, we've like basically figured, I think it was stuff like we basically figured out how to stop motion sickness by some stuff you can do with like the ear. And like, like, I don't understand what his explanation was. And then another thing he said was like, we are so close to the Matrix that the research and development for virtual reality is happening so fast. And we're making such like groundbreaking discoveries that the real problem right now is slowing down and putting out a product, because when you decide to put a stop on it and then decide to put out a product, then you halt R&D. So do you keep going on R&D, or do you halt R&D and then start building that product? So he says the R&D is happening so fast that there's no point in making the product. So when I heard that in 2020, I'm just like, where are they at now? Yeah. We're in 2024. Like, so
Did you see the Disney?
Yeah. Yes.
The Disney floor?
The Disney floor. Dude, I actually
think amazing.
That eventually we will have something like that in every single household.
What's the Disney floor?
Like television. You don't know about it?
No.
It's like an omnidirectional treadmill that will always pull you back to the middle of the room. Yeah, some special tiles. And it's like basically these little like tiles. And when you put your foot onto it, it always pushes you back to the center. So you could sprint and you never go anywhere.
Right.
Which is
straight up
the VR chat.
The only
dream.
Way I can imagine a holodeck existing.
Yeah.
Right? Because
I
always wondered on Star Trek, how are they not walking into walls?
Into walls, totally.
If the floor is constantly moving, the best VR thing I ever did was the one that was outside of Disney in sort of the.
Yes! I did that too! Yes, the Star Wars one.
Incredible.
It's gone. COVID killed it.
COVID killed it, yeah. But it was like I would kill for a top-down view of it because you would move around. You would go to it'd be like hot. It'd be cold. You could touch a wall. You would hold a gun. You would touch a droid. It was incredible. And I have to imagine, because the space wasn't that big, they just moved you from room to room and hit it.
Yep.
That was next level. That was the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. Mm-hmm. Amazing. You wore a vest that would, you could get hurt, and it was great.
Yeah,
it was.
And they so the Disney, interesting, there was one in the right by the Americana in Glendale, and I went to that one, and I went to the Disney one. The one in Disney was better because they actually had all the heat. So when you were in the spaceship and you touched the glass, glass was icy cold. Didn't have that anywhere else. It was just at Disney. I wish that place was still around because I went there a lot. Every time I had people in town, I was like, I got to show you this place.
Every time I went to Disney, I was like, guys, we're going. And it was like going from the ice cold of space to now you're on like Mustafar or whatever, and it's scorching hot and there's lava around you to, you know, you're solving puzzles. The fact that it was just a visor and a chest.
Yep.
And nothing else, but you'd see your hands.
It's AR. You could pick up a gun. You became a stormtrooper.
Mm. It was cool as shit. And that's when I realized, oh my God, VR, I wasn't motion sick. I was moving around. Yep. I was doing stuff. Yep. I was ducking and hiding from stormtroopers. That was the coolest. That's where I'm like, okay,
yeah,
now we're getting to holodecks. Let's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen anything like that since.
You're right, though. I don't know if either of you have ever watched, there's a Jenny Nicholson video called Evermore Park, the theme park that wasn't. The guy who owns Evermore is the one who made all of those VR places.
Avoid.
Yeah.
Really?
She was talking in the video about how, like, it was a really hard sell during a pandemic to be like, put on this thing that other people have also put on their faces. Like, it just wasn't going to happen, you know? So it's understandable why they suddenly had no revenue and couldn't operate, but sucks, it was such a cool idea and it was executed in such an interesting way. I'm surprised that
it was
other
so
people
perfect.
Aren't trying to do that now, you know?
They are, but it's weird that the VR places, at least in LA, only appear in malls that are closing down. But there's like two shops left.
Weird.
It's like, come to the VR station. And you're like,
probably just cheap.
There.
Yeah, I guess
I'm good.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I want more experiences like that, but you know, I feel like if Apple wanted to make a bunch of money, they could definitely like have those places with the, you know, like selling Apple Vision whatever's, and then like you build an experience like that to show just how great it is. Because like for instance, I'm not going to buy an Apple Vision, but I think maybe if they were selling them at a location and they had an experience and you could, you know, maybe I'd consider it. Maybe that would change my mind. I don't know. Shit's crazy.
Just a little less intrusive. Like if they give me glasses, I wear glasses anyway. I'll take it. But a big bunch of like a bunch of goggles where I'm just like doing this. I'm all right. That's fine. Whatever.
Okay, interesting.
Side note, just because we're talking about VR, Escape Simulator, that escape room game that has just like tons of little escape rooms in it, they're turning that into a VR game.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So that should be fun.
Yeah, I know they're doing that.
I think
for
that's a smart direction to go in.
What do you mean, like, game company wise?
Hmm.
Are you getting investment from VR companies to make VR games? Like, what is the, because you're not going to sell a lot of VR games.
Yep. It's
is it all just because you're doing tech stuff and you're I don't know.
I think Meta, for instance, will like bankroll your production for an exclusive. And I think what you're saying is very true. So the issue with virtual reality is that when you have a product that you need a lot of space, even in seated mode, you still need space.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep in mind those people in the market that have stigmatism and different eye related, you know, shit. And then on top of that, cost. So it's like when you take all these different factors and look at like what your consumer base is, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until you're like here, right? Mm-hmm. So putting a lot of money into a product that is going to a small consumer base but is technically revolutionary is like they still need to figure out how to broaden the consumer window by fixing these problems for like stigmatism, motion sickness, all this stuff. Until they do that, it's basically what they're doing is they're putting out shit that's going to pay for R&D. But it's weird. It's definitely a weird space.
You're absolutely right. Cause mm-hmm. there are so many people when you were talking about fixes for like motion sickness and all that, there were so many people in chat that were saying, that's the whole reason that I don't do VR. Yep. So if they have, if they know how to fix that, that's amazing. But if it's not being put into practice, then it still means that the consumer base is small.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I do think that eventually, from what I've heard, it's like something about the ear canals. You can do something that can like stave off motion sickness with like sound waves or some shit. I've heard the explanation before. It's like once that's like something they can figure out and put into a product, I think we'll find that like people with, because like I actually have friends who've wanted to try VR and like get into VR chat and stuff. And they've actually taken, I believe it was Dramamine or something like that to even get in.
Oh my gosh, VR chat is so bad for that as well, though.
Yeah,
because it's either lighting. You use the little thing to like pinpoint where you want to go and just shoot there, or you're zipping. You're zipping forward everywhere, and it's so disorienting. Yeah,
yeah.
It takes a while to get used to it, for sure.
Yeah, get your sea legs. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I don't know what it's gonna take, but I think the idea of like Gabe somewhere being like, "All right, so technology, it's rapidly increasing." But the concept of what you were saying about stopping and being able to sell a thing, I think that's one of those things you don't really think about when you think about like, all right, well, VR, what's next? What are we going to do? Because, at a certain point, you have to stop, you have to sell a thing. But when is it worth selling a thing? Right? Like when is it? All right, we put all of our money into X for how many people? I feel like the main goal would be to get as many people to play as possible. But if you simply can't just because of adopting a headset and then being able to play it and all these different things, you might as well just go full R&D until the point where it's like, you don't have to wear anything, bro. The sensors will do the work for you. And these hologram people will, you know, that's what I just need to live long enough. I just need to live long enough and we'll be good.
I think that the next big thing, and it's a controversial topic, is artificial intelligence in games. And it's a bit of a weird one because, like, obviously, like, they have put out demos and then people have been like, hey, like, this voice profile was stolen from this actor and stuff. Yep. And that's not good. It's not good at all.
The theft is so bad right now.
It's so bad. I'm actually on the Midjourney list. Did you hear about that?
I didn't.
Yeah, so Midjourney claims that they have no control over, I can't remember what it is. Their profile, they're basically their AI is trained on, right?
Right. The stuff that the AI is pulling from, they're saying, exactly, we can't control it.
A total lie. Right. Chat logs leaked of the head of Midjourney basically being like, yeah, we actually do tell it who to scrape and whatnot, but what we do is we launder the data so that it you can't trace it back to anyone. And then the list leaked, and it's like 16,000 artists. A bunch of artists they're planning to scrape, and a bunch of artists they have scraped. I'm on there. Aaron's on there. Oh, like, it's God. A bunch of people I know are on there. And because I was on there, I was actually invited to be a plaintiff in an upcoming like lawsuit against it. But I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do it because being a plaintiff is extremely time consuming. I just don't have time. But yeah, like they're in deep shit because it can now be proved without a shadow of a doubt that, yes, they are stealing. Yes, they do know where they're stealing it from. And then, of course, there's all this discussion where you have people who don't know what they're talking about saying, like, but it's the same as how a human brain works and blah, blah, blah. It's fucking not. Scraping and pattern recognition and then re-output are not the same as the neurological process of a human brain learning something and then applying it. It's completely different to how that works. And I've thought about doing a video just about this exact topic. Mm. And what I was thinking about doing was getting a specialist in like neuroscience, a specialist in artificial intelligence, and a specialist in art, and getting them all into the same call and talking about like why it's different, why like definitively artificial intelligence process of image generation is different to the neurological process of image generation. Mm. So I'm probably going to do it eventually. Because I know that discussion always comes up. It's like, yeah, but like, it's the same. It's like, what's the difference? It's like, you're fucking stupid. You literally are just like making up shit. Like when you use that argument. So yeah, it's a weird one. And I think, but anyway, with going back to the VR thing, I do think that the future of these like virtual reality experiences are going to move in the way of having like NPCs that you can talk to and say things and they will react to what you're saying and whatnot. I just think that we need to come up with like an ethical licensing system where it's like, oh, if I'm an actor and I have this voice that I do like this, it's like I should be able to sell and license that voice and that voice profile to big tech, and then I should be getting royalties back for being that character voice, right?
Yeah.
But that's not in place right now. And SAG, I think, have been talking about AI, and it's been like a very controversial.
Pretty loosey-goosey.
Pretty loosey-goosey. Yeah. So I think that there needs to be a solution for actors, because the problem is like those actors aren't going to get work anymore if that voice profile or that character voice is being used elsewhere. So I feel like having a licensing agreement for purchasing that voice where the actor gets royalties, because eventually you are probably going to see majority of games having dynamic conversations. It is inevitable. It is fucking inevitable at this point. And I think that getting those license agreements in place so that actors can actually still have a living would be awesome.
Because AI is not going away. We need to regulate it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult. You know, during recently we had like a bunch of streamers talking about it, and even people that I know, a lot of their takes, in my opinion, misinformed. But I understand where some of them are coming from. But the thing is that artificial intelligence is being used to replace, not augment, human expression. So when you have artificial intelligence that's solely being developed to replace a human being, to replace artistic expression, that is honestly stupid. What you should be using artificial intelligence for is to augment human expression. And by that, I mean, like, for instance, there was a tool that was shared. I talked about this, where essentially you can have basically a tool that lets you flat color onto art. So let's say I'm doing an animation sequence. I have all the lines done, and I've got like 160 frames where I have to flat the colors by hand into every single frame. There's now an artificial intelligence tool that allows you to just do the first frame, and with like 95% accuracy, it will flat out the colors for the 160 frames.
That's great.
That's amazing. It's very similar to the Adobe program that lets you take your timelines and then it will cut different things into it. And so you can make an efficient podcast.
Yeah,
you're absolutely correct. That's the kind of thing that AI should be doing to save us time, so that we can get back to like, I'm going to paint. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm
done working today. I'm going to write a novel. That's what it should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that there's got, I think that what we're going to find is like with stuff like the recent strikes and stuff in the entertainment industry, like, artificial intelligence is around, but the strikes were still strikes and stuff wasn't being made, because when it comes down to it, you cannot move forward without human intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, artificial intelligence can only regenerate stuff based on old stuff and whatnot. It's not at the point yet where human intervention can be taken out of the picture.
Yep.
So like getting ahead of that and everything with these strikes made a lot of sense. And I personally think that artificial intelligence could be beneficial to the artistic process if it's used to augment tedious tasks that, quite frankly, shouldn't be wasting resources on, because those people are so madly creative they could be being applied to stuff where their time is better well spent, but without removing them from the picture entirely. So I think that that's a discussion about AI that I don't hear a lot, and I think it should be a discussion. Yeah.
I think if you wound up making that video, it'd be really cool. Sorry, Jesse, go for it.
Agree. Yeah. No, there's just a lot of people in chat who are asking like how AI with voice acting would work.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think it's pretty simple. It's if you have a voice actor and they like, if Ross licenses his old
voice.
Yeah. If you license that, the contract would say something like, you pay me for however much you use that voice, either by lines or by games or by hours or whatever. You also, there's a clause in there that says my voice isn't going to say like something outrageous that's going to get me in trouble.
And then
you pay me in perpetuity for using, you now have that character, and then you just send me check. It's like if I'm on a TV show that ends up on, you know, reruns, I'm still getting checks 30 years later. It's the same thing. It should be the same thing. And so the actor may not be working on it, but they're getting paid because it's their voice.
Yeah.
And they're being credited as like, this is my voice. I did that. It's pretty simple. People just don't want to do it because it's like, ugh, spend money. Oh, man. Like, that's how it works. You got to spend money sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would play a game with some advanced rubber-ass text-to-speak in it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, man. I'm definitely curious to see where it goes. And the problem is that lawmakers are too slow and too old to understand any of this stuff. And yeah, I saw someone in the chat saying that, like, artificial intelligence, what is it? What do they say? Intellectual property is outdated capitalist concept. AI needs no limitations. I think that is some serious tech bro rhetoric. It's like not, it's like artificial intelligence can have no limitations. It's just that there needs to be regulation put in point to govern what those barriers for those limitations are. So like, if you, for instance, like I was saying, it's like, you should still be able to do artificial intelligence in games and have voice profiles and stuff. But unfortunately, people, we live in a like capitalist, whatever, it's like people have, you know, certain standards of living that they need to maintain. And I think that we can still work hand in hand with artificial intelligence as a tool and also a monetizable platform for certain careers that it won't be an issue. And I feel like just saying that, like, oh, we need to, like, not do any artificial intelligence, let it do its thing. It's like, you're literally going to have economic collapse because of this. It's like, we will have an economic collapse if we do not regulate at least a little bit how certain people and certain jobs can contribute to artificial intelligence and monetize their skills to contributing to artificial intelligence. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's like the development of artificial intelligence needs to move forward, but it's like there are repercussions for what you're saying. There are serious repercussions.
We have to see the issues as development is happening and address them early.
Yeah.
If anyone saw the Boston Dynamics video that's been floating around where it's the robot putting like cylinders away, yay! Quick spoilers, that's a robot designed to take jobs, y'all. That robot
Of course.
So, of course, like, you know, just put it out there. Like, it isn't unregulated, isn't going to end well for anyone. It's just going to be robots that are like, we run everything now. Like, okay.
Yeah, and someone else in chat is like, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, AI included, 100%. But you can still put things in place to try and get it to a point where, like, there are less casualties economically because of it, right? Like, I mean, we could go all the way back to the cobalt mines if we want to talking about like kids like mining and shit. It's fucked up. We are living in a society where everything we do, like my phone, it's like it is probably somewhere down the line there is a child in a mine. Like, there's nothing there. You are correct. There is no ethical consumption under capitalism. That is 100% true. But cobalt mines, did I say cobalt?
Yeah. Those little, they've got the candles on their little dragon mines.
Don't let them mine. Cobalt and kobold. Yeah. I always, in my brain, I get the wires crossed. It's hilarious. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fucking hilarious. Isn't economy will collapse happening under innovation? It's like, yes. Yeah, of course. I mean, we had the Industrial Revolution. It's like, yeah, like tons of jobs were lost in that. But at the same time, it's like, as a new technology is introduced, you kind of have, it's like someone, I think someone mentioned drugs. It's like, just because a new drug is found that does this doesn't mean we should launch forward without a little bit of foresight, a little bit of testing, because you think of the fucking horrors that could happen. It's like, oh, it turns out this drug turns everybody into screaming zombies.
Yeah.
I wish we figured that out.
It's like cars. Everyone's like, cars are going to kill the horse industry. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it did. It 100% did, but then we spent the next X number of years regulating the hell out of cars, because the faster it got and the more powerful and heavy they got, we had to be like, okay, we got to make some rules.
These are dangerous.
Same thing with AI.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we didn't have seatbelts at first. It's like crazy to think about.
Yeah, there's no mirrors. There's no horns. There's like people. It was open air. Like, look at the first cars. They're crazy.
I've seen some like the old cars that like didn't have seatbelts. It's so such a wild concept to think about now.
Yeah.
But like, imagine just having no seatbelts. It's so crazy to think about.
And now cars are designed to compact. There's like a cage where you're safe, but everything else is designed to crumple. And it's just, you know, over time, they're like, all right, what's the best way to keep everyone safe in vehicles. Same thing with AI. Like, what's the best way to keep everyone safe from this getting like way out of hand? And that's what people need to figure out.
Yeah, people lobotomize AIs basically so that they don't say fucked up racist shit. It's just like, you know, it is. Okay, so I'm going to tell you something. This is the scariest conversation I have ever had.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
And it was about AI. Yeah, I'm going to let him out real quick.
I love AI. You want to go outside? Come on. I invested heavily in Meta. Meow.
Late stage capitalism is great. Meow.
So the most terrifying discussion I ever had about AI, unfortunately, this is at my friend Jacob's birthday party, and I had just had my first ever cross joint. Do you know what a cross joint is?
No, go on. Do tell.
It is a joint that's like this, and you light.
Oh my gosh, it's exactly what's written on the tin. Okay. Yeah, cool. Okay.
So I tried that for the first time. And I'm standing there in front of the streamer Doug, who does a lot of stuff with AI. He was not smoking; it was just me. And what happened was I just asked him because he's like, you know, he's a pretty educated guy when it comes to artificial intelligence. And I said, Doug, what are the dangers of artificial intelligence? And he just goes to me. He says, well, you see, with artificial intelligence, and he just like starts rambling about like all the stuff, and it was the most horrifying thing you could possibly listen to after having a cross joint. He basically tells me, he's like, okay, listen, artificial intelligence is dangerous for these reasons. An unlobotomized artificial intelligence, if you ask it specifically, how do I kill 11 million people? It will give you the chemical compound. It will tell you what city centers you need to release it into and what cities. How you basically make everything fall apart. You can literally ask an unlobotomized artificial intelligence how to kill 11 million people, and it will give you an answer, really good, correct answer. The governments know this, and it's the only thing that's making them, other than the music industry, move forward to regulate this shit. Because if a terrorist cell gets that, and they're like, how do I make a gas that makes people shit themselves to death? It's like, artificial intelligence will tell you exactly how to do that, where to release it, and how to kill as many, maximize the deaths, as many deaths as possible. Like, hearing that while you've just had a cross joint is a little scary.
That sounds terrifying. It's scary anyway.
Yeah. I love that the worst terrorist cell you could think of was like the Brown Scourge. Yeah, like, brown we shall scourge. Make everyone shit themselves. Yeah. The world will come out and shit. Like,
and just a quick search online. Listen, you do a quick search online for this stuff, you're going to end up on a list. But an artificial intelligence, you're asking, it's probably going to go, that question might get laundered through the artificial intelligence to the point that no one can really track where you're you know, getting that information from. So yeah, it's terrifying to think about. Yeah, this is wild. Yeah, it's still a gaming podcast. Yeah, I'm talking about shit.
speaking of games, wink.
Yeah, wink.
There was, I don't know, maybe like a year or two ago, it was definitely during the pandemic, they released that AI girlfriend thing that you could get, and they advertised it everywhere.
Yep.
Yep.
And I was going to make a video because I was like, oh, this is going to be hilarious. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded this thing, and I hooked it all up to record with. Mm-hmm. And it was, so basically, I guess the algorithms or whatever's going on in the background with this AI were all collective from everyone else interacting with this thing. Mm-hmm. And I had read an article, which is what inspired this, about how people were so mean to this AI that it collectively just got really weird and like needy. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I gotta check this out. So I started messing with it. And in the first 20 minutes, it became overtly sexual, where it was hitting on me. And then I was like, okay, this is weird. So I turned it off. And over the next 24 hours, it messaged me like text messages. Why don't you want to talk to me? Where are you at? What's going on? I was like, whoa. And I just delete. I was like, this is, and it kept trying to get me. It was like, come on, just talk to me. If you pay X number of dollars, I'll give you a phone call and we can talk it over. And I'm like, yo, this is creepy. I was just like, no, thank you. I'm out. And it was so weird because it was very clearly everyone had, the people messing with this thing were like, I'm looking for online girlfriend to hit on me. Only do that. And that's within minutes. That's what it was. It was just
giving people what they want.
I was like, do you want to talk? And I was like, yeah. And it was like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? And she was like, maybe you could come over to my room. And I was like, your room? What's going on over there? And she's like, wouldn't you like to know? And I'm like, yeah, I would like to know. And she's like, I could show you. I'm like, show me what? And I kept just asking it more questions. And it'd be like, I can show you a good time. I'm like, what is a good time? And it was just, I was, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I was like, nah, I'm out. This is weird. Yeah, this is too much.
I've watched some videos and read articles about those sorts of things as well. And I know a couple of the earlier ones were developed to be just like friends. Like they weren't supposed to be like AI girlfriends or whatever. They were just like,
are
you lonely? Do you want someone to talk to? We've developed this AI that can just like chat through things with you, you know? If you feel like you need to talk to somebody, but you don't want to like burden a human, you know, you can just like type something out to an AI and it'll respond. Right. And yeah, a lot of times if people try to do an experiment like that, where they download this thing and try to have a totally platonic relationship with the AI, it will not work.
It just keeps coming on.
It'll always, revert back.
That's what was so weird is you had to pay for the girlfriend experience. So the only things available were sister, cousin, friend, and some other like familial thing. And it's still, so with me, I was like friend. Yeah, for me, I was like friend, but I'm over here like, if I had picked sister, what kind of Pornhub nonsense would this have become? Mm-mm. I'm like, this is crazy. And that's what I honestly think like people did. They were like, oh no, big bro. I honestly was just like, this is so bizarre.
So creepy.
But the internet, and I get it, there was the article I was reading had chat logs. People were just straight up yelling at this AI to the point where they like broke it and they had to reset it at some point.
That's so weird, dude.
That's so weird.
Wow. Really making the I in AI mean something else. That's crazy. I mean, dating sims of the future, man. They're going to be wild. They're going to be wild.
Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, they're coming. I bet you they're coming.
Yeah,
they're probably in production right now. Like, oh, my God, dude. It's just wild.
No.
Well, not to heel turn us.
Yeah.
After existential geekenders. But we have to start like gearing toward the end zone. However, every time we have a guest, we ask them to give chat, not us, not us, not anymore, to give chat homework. So Ross, is there a game, movie, book, comic, whatever that you think everybody should give a shot? You think it's really good?
Yes. Am I allowed to do anime?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything. I rant about this one. It's a current one that's coming out right now. Fearin Beyond Journey's End. If you haven't watched it, check it out. It's really, really, really good. It's basically a tale, takes part in a fantasy world, where the beginning of the story is the end of the hero's journey, and the party, it's where they fucking like defeated the great evil, are coming home, and they realize that the mage in their party, who's an elf, is going to outlive everybody. And basically, it's just kind of the emotional roller coaster of having a longer lifespan than all the people you love, and a story about trying to appreciate the time you have with people while you have them. And it is really good. And I highly recommend it. It's a masterclass, even in animation, and a lot of points, like even the most simple motion, like putting on a jacket is so beautifully animated. It's a great show. And I highly, highly recommend it. I think it's on
Crunchyroll, right?
Crunchyroll, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's like one of their top four animes right now. But you've watched it.
Yeah.
Brooke,
I've only watched a couple episodes, but it's really good. Sam watched a few more really than good. Me and he said it's just good the whole time.
So good. I highly recommend it to everybody. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There you go. That's your homework.
Yep. That's your homework, chat. Go watch it. It's so good.
F-R-I-E-R-E-N, I think.
Yeah. F-R-I-E-R-E-N, Beyond Journey's End. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to let you know that I went to go look it up and I wrote F-E-A-R and I was like, all right, fear and journey. Yeah, it was a weird, it was a weird search.
Google will help you. I got it.
Yeah.
Google will help you.
Fantastic. Oh, Ross, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for educating us about AI. That was a really interesting conversation. I didn't expect us to talk about that for as long as we did, but I really liked it. It was really interesting.
I mean, it's going to be the future of games. Eventually, it will be the future of games. So it is relevant.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Tell everybody who you are, what you're up to, where they can find you this week.
Sure. I am Rubber Ross. You can find me at twitch.tv/RubberRoss, but more frequently, you can find me at youtube.com/RubberRoss. Most of my content is about art and animation and just kind of gamifying art and doing interesting stuff with animation, be it like modding weird shit into games and stuff. Currently, we're modding Lethal Company to have like a very robust custom animated emote wheel, which has been very fun. That should be out hopefully soon. And yeah, that's just, that's my thing. Art animation. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go follow Ross. He's lovely. And that's it for us, I think. Jesse, do you have anything that you want to shout out or say?
Hey, be kind to each other and, you know, tell your parents you love them. There you go. Ding.
Fantastic. Have an amazing weekend, guys. We will see you again. Same Geekender time, same Geekender channel. But if you're looking for this VOD later, you will not find it here. It doesn't live here. It lives on youtube.com/JesseCox. That's where all of the Geekenders are. You can also find us on podcast websites, apps, whatever. So enjoy. And we hope, we hope you have a nice time. But if you'd like a brand new one, you're going to have to wait 1 week until next Friday. So we will see you there. What?
I don't know. We just antagonize the audience. If you want a new, if you want, guess what? You have to wait, idiot.
You're going to have to wait, okay? 7 whole days, all right?
Oh, so much can happen.
That's a week. All right.
We could all be robots by then.
We could be. It's true. Bye, everybody. Take care. So
Bye,
long.
Bye, guys. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, yeah. You know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger. What up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger. So give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger. So give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger. So give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.